Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Recently, as I've been listening to the so-called debate about national health care in this country, I couldn't help but think of animal behavior. This wasn't necessarily because some of the people involved in this seemed to be acting more like animals than mature humans, but that wasn't the case. If we look at the health care debate and the pro-life debate and the euthanasia debate and the Iraq-Afghanistan debate and all of the other debates we've had of relative interest to the general public, as well as those specific to animals such as the spay and neuter debate, the vaccination debate, the diet debate, the breed-specific legislation debate, they all have some basic characteristics in common. First, all of these are very complex issues. They have many, many different factors involved, all of which need to be taken into account in order to say anything meaningful about what should be done. Secondly, either because the media or their sponsors or advertisers have very short attention spans and lack critical thinking skills, or because the American public has a very short attention span and or lacks critical thinking skills, what we hear about or read about the most commonly are the views of the lunatic fringe, the extremes. And the reason we hear those views is because they're so simplistic, so driven by passion or emotion, more so than thought, they can be easily reduced to a soundbite. There's this feeling that if we're really, really passionate about something, that automatically adds validity. Well, I consider myself an incredibly passionate singer in the shower when there's nobody in the house. Well, except the animals. And frankly, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know from listening to me that I don't know very much about singing and music. So the passion equals validity argument, that's a tenuous one at best. But the other thing I think about with these extremes is that they're not really that extreme. Years ago, Norman Cousins made the statement that when two people believe that the world is flat, the further apart they go, the greater the distance between them. But once they realize the world is round, the further apart they go, the closer they become. And my experience has been that it's the same with ideas. The further apart two ideas seem to be, the closer together they actually are. When, for example, I hear passionate arguments for or against spay and neuter, for or against breed-specific legislation, for or against animal rights, or nuclear energy, or abortion, or euthanasia, or health care in one form or another, I know that these two groups have something of equal potency in common. So then the question is, what could it possibly be? Well, what they have in common is their desire to control. Both extremes want everybody to see things their way. They want to control what other people think and what other people do. This is why I have always maintained that those who are passionate about reward training or those who are passionate about using punishment in training are much more alike than different. They are both equally concerned with controlling the animal. And as part of the control factor in the extremes, in all these areas, they will never say, I want to control. That's my goal. They will couch it in terms of doing it for somebody else's good. They are doing it for the good of the animal. They are doing it for the good of the breed, the good of the species, the good of humankind. So they're more alike than different. The only problem relative to tolerating these debates is that once you realize that you're not getting much in the way of useful information, but in fact on the extremes who have the least amount of solid information, no matter how passionate they are, then there's no reason to listen to them anymore. And that's where I find myself lately on a lot of these issues. I know they're important, but the way they're being marketed and packaged, more like sporting events or some other kind of entertainment, is of no value to me. It takes too much time and too much effort to listen to these people, and there's nothing to show for it. It's a play on my emotions. It's like shock radio. It's like watching a football game. To me, these issues are too important. The issue of real animal rights, the issue of spay and neuter, vaccination, training, how we train, how we don't train, these are too important. And certainly the other issues, the national issues, they're too important to reduce to sound bites and cliches and us against them extremes. The world is round. It takes time. It takes interest. It takes a true concern for animals and their well-being to sit down and sort through all the data and think hard and long about how much of this is about the animal and how much of this is about me. You can't do that in a soundbite.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.